This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
I just execute. I've had so many people ask me, like, what are Ravens missing? I'm like, literally nothing. We haven't been playing well when we got to the point that we need to win. And there's no excuses for that. It's just offense, defense, special teams, we got to do better. And, you know, specifically on this Bills game, obviously we had a couple turnovers. Our defense didn't start well.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney today and tomorrow. Here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass. Coming up next at 12:15, we'll play a little buy or sell, check in on the stock market, answer some questions in the world of sports. But right now, we're getting you some news from the Nest. You just heard from Ravens safety Kyle Hamilton, who was on the Mina Kimes show the other day with Puka Nacua from the LA Rams. And there's Kyle there answering the question of what do the Ravens need to get over the hump. And he says nothing. They just need to play better in these games. And I talked about this the other night on my show. The Ravens have a good enough roster. The Eagles have the best roster in football. I can agree with that.
Yep.
But there are a handful of teams, and the Ravens are part of that group, that have a good enough roster to win it all. Do they have holes? Absolutely. But you're only going to get but so much better talent-wise because of the cap space and everything that goes into that draft position. Kyle said it there. I think their issue is that they can't be their best version of themselves in the most important time of the year. And unfortunately, you have to be. Unfortunately for them, you have to be, because going to Buffalo, hosting the Chiefs, playing teams like that, assuming the Bengals will be back in it, you're going to have to be yourself and be the best version of yourself to win in January, and they just haven't been able to do it.
I thought two things that they needed to do to improve, Cordell. Two big things. Because if you look at the Eagles in the playoffs, plus 12, and the Ravens in the six playoff games with Lamar, they're a minus. All right, that's one thing. They need to create more turnovers. They were plus 6 for the season. Like, Buffalo was plus 24. I mean, they need to get more turnovers. And then, to me, the biggest thing is they need to cut those penalties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they were number 2 in the league, and they had 1,100 yards in penalties. And just think of how many with just offense, you know, because you say, well, how can the offense get better? Just eliminate those stupid penalties. And the offense is going to get better because you take away a lot of those first and 15s and first and 20s. That is, you know, kind of the thing that I was looking at. And I think, Cordell, when Kyle talks about special teams was basically like new for everybody this mm-hmm. year, you know, with the kickoff and kickoff return and those types of things. So they want to find a legit kickoff or a punt returner is what they want to find. I think Keaton Mitchell, Justice Hill, They're going to be the kick return guys, and I think they'll be excellent. But the coverage units on the kickoff and stuff, you know, to figure out what's what and everything. And then the other thing is who's going to be the kicker. I mean, that's going to be this first time in probably, 13 years we've had to talk about a kicker. So that's Randy Brown's got his work cut out for him,
yes.
You know, at the combine and this offseason. And I've talked to Randy before, and Randy's the one that's gone out and found every punter, every kicker, all these guys. So I have total confidence that Randy Brown will go find them you know, a good kicker. But there's going to be competition. There'll be, and I don't know if Tucker's going to be. What do you think? I mean, perception wise, Tucker may be gone.
I just don't know what it'll look like. We get out there for camp and he's out there.
And then there's more.
And, you know, there's more. And then you got a lot of people out there at that time. I don't know what the because I'm for a lot of these cases, time heals all and it's gotten quiet. I'm not saying that it should go away or anything like that. But for them, I don't know how they're going to play this. I really don't. They went from zero tolerance to we'll see. So I'm kind of just sitting on the edge of my seat like everybody else waiting to see how this plays out.
What would you do?
I'd have gotten rid of him. I would have gotten rid of him personally.
Because let's be honest, he cost him a couple games.
Exactly.
He's one of the worst kickers
in the league. It's a combination of everything right now. It's kind of the perfect storm. And I don't think they found out when we found out, but that's another story. I just feel like they know more than we do. And I'm sure, you know, when there's smoke, there's fire. And there's a lot of smoke right now for him. So I would have just kind of absolved myself. This is one of those times where I would have been like, thankfully, he's just a kicker. You know, I'm wiping my hands. I'm making this a clean transition, moving on. That's what I would have done. But let's look at this Ravens defense. And I know that's what you guys have been doing. And let's start with the secondary since we started with Kyle Hamilton. We thought that this would be arguably the best position group on the team going into this season. Didn't turn out to be that way. How do you view this past season for this secondary and who maybe you're looking to move on from?
Well, let's talk about Kyle Hamilton, who we just heard from first. I mean, Kyle had 107 tackles and 2 sacks, 4 tackles for loss, 9 pass defense, and an interception. And he was a big part of change. You know, and what was the big part of change after that Cincinnati game? Put him back in the safety position. Why? Communication was horrible. Horrible. How many times, Cordell, did we see guys in the end zone with their arms up in the air like, what the hell is going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there was none after that. But is that the best position to play Kyle Hamilton? Because the year before, and we heard Eric say this, the year before Kyle was up towards the line of scrimmage, was making more impactful plays. So what's more important? I guess if you don't have anybody that can do what Kyle's doing in the back end, then you may have to keep him there. Otherwise, because I thought that he is the most natural rusher that they got using his hands. I thought, you know, using his hands on his blitzes and getting around running backs and stuff, I thought he uses hands extremely well getting to the quarterback. So I think that hurt them some. And he's an excellent tacker, an excellent playmaker around the line of scrimmage. So, you know, are you losing something defensively with him being in the back end? Although, you know, he did move up some and he did make some plays on some receivers.
It wasn't the same.
No, because before, you know, he was lining up on receivers and stuff, you know. So, yeah, I would like to see him up more, and I would like to see TJ Tampa back at safety. I asked Eric about it, and we can talk about TJ Tampa now. I mean, TJ Tampa, I think, is a hell of a football player, but he runs 4.52.
Mm-hmm.
So to be, you know, kind of like, why did they take Wiggins instead of Cooper DeJean? Because they thought Cooper DeJean was an inside guy because of speed, and Wiggins was an outside guy because of speed. So to me, it's kind of the same. Basically, TJ Tampa is, you know, Cooper DeJean and TJ Tampa are the same guys. You know, both real good football players and both got good instincts, got range, got all those things. And we saw with DeJean with the interception for the touchdown. That's why I think, you know, playing TJ Tampa either inside or at safety, I think makes a lot more sense.
Coming up. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, the one that's I think that Brandon Stevens, he's gone.
He's gone.
Gone. You got to get rid of him. He can't find a ball. Never will find a ball. Had a horrible year. The only reason The only reason he had a good year the year before that, because Marlon was so bad that people were like, take your pick. You know, so they went after Marlon all day. How about that Rams game? I mean, that was embarrassing. You know, and then, you know, so Stevens has got to go. Got to go. And I don't think they have, you know, another guy to play on the outside. Do you? Because I don't know. I think Marlon is much more valuable on the inside than he is on the outside. That's my opinion. And he's getting older, and he's going to be in the last year of his contract, too. So you got to draft one somewhere in there, because more than likely, this will be Marlon's last year.
And I see a lot of mock drafts already have the Ravens going corner in the first round. I think there's a couple of picks that the Ravens could go, but when you're picking so late, you kind of got to let it fall to you. We'll see what happens. But I wouldn't be shocked if corner is one of those positions that they're looking at very early.
Well, and that's the reason, draft. Cordell, we've got, you know, two new secondary coaches, you know, and the I said this yesterday. All right. When you look at what happened after Cincinnati game, the changes that were made and everything. All right. The biggest problems on the defense, two DB coaches fired. Inside linebacker coach fire. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty obvious what the issues were.
And just to recap what you're saying, a couple of changes on the Ravens defensive coaching staff. They did bring in chief safeties coach Donald DeLacio yesterday from Kansas City. They also brought in Dean Pease's son, Matt Pease, to be the assistant inside linebackers coach as well. So a lot of changes happening on the defensive side of the ball right now. Coming up next on Vinny and Haney, we'll play a little buy or sell. We'll check in on the stock market, bring in Nolan McGraw for some questions in the world of sports. That's next on The Fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass. Coming up at 12:30, we'll replay the interview that the guys did the other day with Kevin Willard. Terps back on the hardwood tonight out in Nebraska, taking on the Cornhuskers. That game right here on The Fan at 8:30. Pregame coverage starts at 7:30, so we'll play you that interview again in the next segment. But right now, Vinny, how's the stock market looking?
Hey, Nolan. Cordell's here, so what color is it?
I can't keep, what is it, red?
No.
Like a shirt?
No.
No, it's green.
It's always green. Cordell's about the money, right, man.
It's always red when I have to read it. That's what it is. I got it mixed up.
Yes. The Dow's up 118. The S&P's up 30. NASDAQ is up 160. DraftKings up 70 cents.
Boom.
Under Armour's up 9. DraftKings up to 46.14, so they're making a nice little run.
All right, our sports topics here, we'll start with the Baltimore Orioles. They'll enter the season with a new-look starting rotation that includes two veteran additions, Charlie Morton, Tomoyuki Sugano. No clear defined ace. We talked about that earlier in the show. So that means there's no clear-cut answer for who's going to be the opening day starter. In three of the last 5 years, Baltimore has put a newcomer on the mound for that first game. Some are more of an obvious choice, like Corbin Burns last year. He was always going to be the opening day starter. Others like Tommy Malone during the COVID year, well, not so much. But Cordell, buy or sell, one of these new offseason additions will be the O's opening day starter this year.
Oh, I'm selling that. If it's not Grayson, we're going to have a problem. I mean, it's got to be Grayson now. I mean, it definitely won't be Sugano. I think he's going to be more on the back end of the rotation. Morton, possibly, but yeah, I think they're going to, this is the time to push all your chips into the Grayson Rodriguez basket.
Go over to the NFL, where the Seahawks, they're faced with a decision to make at wide receiver this offseason. They've enjoyed a few years now of having a really strong trio, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. But with Lockett now set to enter his age 33 season, a massive $30 million cap hit for 2025, you're asking yourself, how do you get to that point? Well, they had a tough decision to make last year, and they decided to extend him with a little two-year deal, pushing the money further down the road. But now we're down the road, so you either have to cut bait, save $17 million in a cap space, or another extension to keep pushing the money. So, Vinny, buy or sell, no chance Lockett is back in Seattle for 25.
Buy it 1,000%. You got to, yeah, because you need cheap labor. Draft a wide receiver to be your third. You can't, you know, and Njigba is a high draft pick, and
Metcalf,
he's highly paid. So, yeah, Lockett's got to go.
I mean, their best receivers, Smith and Njigba right now.
No doubt.
Still on that rookie deal.
And last year, I guess it was a tougher choice because Lockett was still closer to his prime, mm-hmm. and he was actually turning in pretty good results. This past year, only 600 yards,
yeah.
So he's starting to trend down.
And you got a new OC coming in, too.
Let's see a little college basketball here. Cooper Flagg getting a lot of attention as the premier freshman in the country this season. But meanwhile, over here in the Big Ten, a lot of young talent making an instant impact. Rutgers with a pair of impact freshmen, Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper, of course, Derek Queen doing great things for the Terps. At the end of the season, the Basketball Writers of America will hand out their top freshman award. Cooper Flagg, probably your favorite to win it. The profile there at Duke, he's got number one overall pick projections as well. But Cordell, buy or sell, one of these Big Ten freshmen will swoop in to steal the spotlight before the year is done.
As much as it pains me, I got to sell it. I mean, like you said, he had the momentum before the season even started. And then it doesn't hurt him that he plays for Duke. Duke's winning. They're having a really good year. He's having a really good year. It would take something like Derek Queen would have to look the way he did on Sunday for the rest of the season and then some for before we start talking. And look, both of those freshmen for Rutgers are really good. Most of those scouts were there to see those guys. Mm-hmm. But, I just think Cooper Flagg has too much national momentum for him to not win.
Plus, he was on the U.S. team
yeah.
with mm-hmm. all the pros.
Yeah.
Right. He's already been anointed, it
yes.
says.
Yes,
he has been.
Well, for the Wizards' sake, I mean, go win that lottery, I guess.
Well, that's when he'll turn into like, and I don't want to be disrespectful to like the Tom Gugliottas yeah. of the world and all the, what was his name that was on Duke that they had drafted. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank, but Christian Laettner. Oh. Christian Laettner.
There was another Team USA guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll close up here in the NFL. Jerry Jones caught a lot of heat last year for a lack of moves in the offseason, despite saying that they would be all in free agency and building their team. Well, to be fair to him, they had to navigate the CeeDee Lamb situation, Dak Prescott's contract, and that took a long time to sort out. And by the time it was all said and done, the season was pretty much upon us. Even still, they didn't really add anybody else. So the road ahead, it's not going to get any easier. They're already in the red in terms of cap space. Micah Parsons is next in line for a massive payday. You've got plenty of other key contributors on that defense that are set to hit the open market as well. Vinny, buy or sell, this offseason will look a lot like last year for Dallas.
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it. You know, I think Jerry's kind of living in a different world. You know, I mean, there's Jerry. I think he lives in Jerry's world because they're not very good, you know. And the thing about it is you've got Philly that won the Super Bowl and you got Washington that was in the NFC Championship game. So, you know, you've got the haves and the have-nots in that division.
And Dak's talking about it's our time.
Yeah, okay.
He's saying the right things.
I mean,
yeah.
It's been their time for how long now?
He was talking to Rashawn.
Cowboy fans are still picking them to win the Super Bowl next year. I mean, that's another story. They're not even a part of the equation in my mind. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll switch gears, talk some hoops. The guys had Coach Kevin Willard on the show the other day. We'll replay that interview next here on The Fan. On the hardwood tonight out in Lincoln, taking on the Cornhuskers, and Coach Kevin Willard, he joined the guys the other day to recap that win against Rutgers on Sunday. And let's kick it off with Bob asking him about the questionable officiating that went on in that game.
Yeah, I mean, at this time of year, you know, the one good thing about this league is that you know you're getting three seasoned veteran refs on the game, and I think the biggest thing, and most these guys work so hard, and they work every night. I mean, it is, you know, they're doing games, you know, they're at Wisconsin and they're at Maryland, and they're going places. They're gonna have mistakes. So at this part of the year, you know, you understand that refs are gonna make mistakes. For the most part, they ref them 99% of the time, really, really good. There's no reason of losing your mind when they make a mistake.
All right, now the win against Rutgers, it was a spirited game, but you gained control and kind of held them off. Then they got right back in it in the second half. But Derek Queen was brilliant. His performance on a scale of 1 to 10, based on what's already been an incredible freshman year, Kevin, how would you rate that one against the Scarlet Knights there?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was dominant. I thought one of the things that we've been talking to Derek about is getting back down low a little bit, using his, he's almost 7 foot now, using his 6'11", 250 frame to get some offensive rebounds, to get some easy buckets, because teams have really started to scout him and load up on him. Some of the ISOs that we ran earlier in the year, teams are just knowing what we're doing with him now. And he's doing a good job of adjusting to what coaches are now really throwing a lot of respect at Derek. So I thought he played phenomenal because he played physical. He was down low. He got a lot of offensive rebounds for easy baskets, and he played just great.
Seldon Miguel in the first half was outstanding. When you watch it, I mean, he's a transfer student, and when he gets hot coach, as you know, you're the coach of the team, he can really fill it up. When he's kind of in that zone, you're sitting there on the bench watching things unfold. What's going through your mind watching this guy? Like, hey, it's a 40-footer. No. Oh, nice shot. One of those.
No, I mean, there's not a bad shot for Selt. I mean, he's one of those guys. He's shooting 44% from three, and I'd much rather him shoot a three than anybody else just because of his percentage, and his catch-and-shoot percentage is almost above 52%. So, I think the good thing about these guys is they know when someone gets hot. Selt was hot in the first half, then Rodney started getting going in the second half, and these guys start looking for each other, which is nice.
Kevin Willard, head basketball coach, University of Maryland, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Turn it up Tuesday. All right, foul shooting last couple of games, not ideal. How much work's being put in there?
Yeah, I think that's something that's the tough thing about it is, our highest percentage guys have struggled a little bit. Derek missed four big ones against Ohio State, and, sometimes freshmen do that. So I think the big thing is just getting everybody relaxed at the free throw line. Keep getting the right guys there. I mean, as long as we're getting there, that was one of our weaknesses is, we don't get to the free throw line nearly as much as our conference foes. So it's been a big push for us to get to the free throw line. We just got to now convert.
Hey, Kevin, I hear you talk a lot about, the freshmen, and you refer to the freshmen a lot. Like, my son's a freshman hockey player, and I told him at Penn State, like, at Christmas, I said, listen, Charlie, I said, you know what? Start a new year. You're not a freshman anymore. Now, you got to be much more comfortable. When do you hit that with the freshmen in basketball? About the same time?
Yeah, I think it's, each kid's different, and again, it's how much are they playing? There's so many different scenarios that go into it. But I think at this point in the season, freshmen are starting to look a lot like sophomores. I still think it's really hard for freshmen because of the COVID year. I think the old rule of, hey, you've played 20 games and, they're playing against guys that have been in college for 6 years. So I still think freshmen are going to look like freshmen at times just because of, we have guys that are in college forever. And so it's just not as simple as going up against other freshmen.
Coach, speaking of freshmen, we talk about Queen, obviously, but Malachi Palmer, highly regarded. You guys love him. Got his minutes because of the illness that hit the team, and the tooth got knocked up from Geronimo. But what's the upside for him with his career moving forward in College Park?
Oh, yeah, we love Malachi. He's one of the hardest workers. I think he has tremendous upside. I think he's one of the most talented kids we have on the team. And again, he's been kind of because of some of the older guys playing so well, but he's gonna get some minutes coming down the stretch because we need a little. Our bench hasn't been as productive as I'd like it to be. So Malachi gives us some athleticism coming off the bench, a guy that can make a shot, and he's been practicing really good. So we like where Malachi's at.
All right, Nebraska on Thursday night. You guys got them by 3 month and a half ago down there at the Xfinity Center. They won 4 in a row. The Mayor don't mess around. Hoiberg, they're trying to get back to the big dance. Bryce Williams is a stud. Where are they going to create problems for you guys Thursday night, and how do you try to overcome them?
Well, two big things that we have to overcome is the fact that it's one of the sneakiest, hardest places to play in college basketball because it's a fan base that no matter what's going on, you know, they're going to get 16,000. They get there 2 hours early. They're into the game. It's a really tough place to play. And Fred does a great job defensively. They really play a weird defensive kind of scheme where they force everything baseline, baseline traps, post traps are really aggressive. So we have to score the basketball. We have to kind of get some easy buckets because Fred makes everything difficult.
That was Coach Willard on Vinny and Haney on Tuesday recapping that win against Rutgers. And on that last question, they're previewing tonight's game against the Cornhuskers out in Lincoln. And Lincoln, the Cornhuskers, especially the last couple of years, you can definitely tell the basketball programs are starting to kind of rev up here. I don't think they'll ever catch what the football team does just in terms of popularity. But yeah, the fans definitely care about it. And like we said at the start of the show, like, what else are they doing tonight? They'll all be in the building for this pivotal Big Ten matchup.
Have you ever been on that campus, Cordell?
No. I would love to go to a Nebraska football game, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's an awesome – Nolan, you've never been there, have you? It's a beautiful campus, and there's nothing in that area other than the university. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it. I mean – you know, Omaha is about 45 minutes away. Otherwise, you know, you're close to Colorado. So there is nothing else to do. When you're a student, right. You know, I mean, that they're going to be at the best. Mm-hmm. Probably why they go to the basketball game early. The student section will be crazy. And I mean, football is the same way. I mean, you got those diehards,
yeah. You
know, people that come from all over the state. And they'll be there. They don't care what that it's a Thursday night or whatever night it is.
Remember, you can hear tonight's game right here on The Fan. Tip-off is at 8:30. Pre-game coverage starts at 7:30. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get back to the Ravens. We started to preview a little bit of the Ravens' defense back in News from the Nest. We'll get back to that, look at the rest of the secondary, finish off the secondary, and move our way up to the defensive line as well. That's next here on The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for the Bobster today here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll feed you some NFL lunch, see what's going on around the league. But right now, we're looking at this Ravens defense. We talked a lot about the secondary. You had anybody else in the secondary you wanted to hit on real quick?
Yeah, I Cordell, I cannot wait till we do the off the record with Harbs, because I want to find out what happened with Marcus Williams. You know, because that's the biggest mystery that's out there. Why he was, because when we saw him at minicamp, he was in charge taking, and then when we saw him, you know, play during game, I don't know what happened to him, because I've never seen a guy not want to play, not want to hit, not want to be engaged. I mean, that's interesting to me what happened to the guy, because
yeah. I
have no idea. And then, you know, Adarius Washington ended up with 64 tackles, had 5 tackles for loss, 8 pass defense, and 2 interceptions, and dropped a couple interceptions. He kind of like stabilized things back there. You know, he has been hurt a lot. Size is somewhat of a factor for him, especially when he's playing tight ends and stuff. But I thought he was really engaged and would come up and make plays and stuff. I think he's restricted free agent. I would definitely he's going to be on the roster, you know, even if it's for depth and he's got to beat somebody out. Or I expect them to add a safety, whether it be through draft, free agency. They're going to add another safety, and we'll see where TJ Tampa is playing. Armour Davis, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Hurt too much. You know, and Wiggins, I think Wiggins got a chance to be pretty good. I mean, Bob, you're talking about a kid with Wiggins that he had 13 pass defense and 1 interception. So he can play the ball. The thing that he's got to do is get in the weight room and get stronger.
Mm-hmm. You know, and he acknowledged that when we talked to him during locker cleanout day. That was the main thing that he said he wanted to improve. He also said that he actually picked up weight, no surprise there, as the season went on. They have a plan that he said that they have for him.
Yeah, and the thing, and I've said this before, is the thing that amazed me, because we talked the same thing about Rosengarten the other day, too, is, you know, Rosengarten's from Washington. Wiggins is from Clemson. They got good strength programs. Why? What happened to you? You know, I mean, that's the thing. Look at Wiggins is so skinny. Like, Emmanuel Forbes from Mississippi State for the Redskins.
That's a pretzel.
Yeah. You know, I mean, come on. They don't have to lift. I mean, that's embarrassing to the programs. Let me see. The other Wiggins, because I think Wiggins is going to be starting outside corner.
I agree.
And they don't. And then I think Marlon will be nickel. And I thought Marlon had a hell of a year, a lot better than the year before. Lost weight, got in shape, stayed healthy, was physical, made plays on the ball. You know, I thought he deserved to be in the Pro Bowl. I thought he had a hell of a year. Can he dictate that? Because, you know, I'm good friends with Humphrey's agent. He thought, after last year, thought they were going to get a pay cut request, you know, and they didn't. So, yeah, so I think overall, Cordell,
What do you think of Mallette? He's probably, I mean, and we didn't see a lot of him this year, obviously. But
he's hurt.
And I think they have an out with him this offseason.
I would out him, and I'd put TJ Tampa in there. Because what they do, you know, as the season went along, you know, they had Love out there, and they put Stevens inside.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see Tampa playing on the inside and Marlon playing on the inside. I'll be anxious to see what Chuck Pagano is going to do with those guys. But they need help at safety. They need another corner. You know, they almost need a starter at the outside corner, I think.
They do.
You know, so
I mean, we can't name another one outside of Wiggins.
No. So, yeah, I mean, that's where the secondary is at. From a secondary that we thought was going to be a strength of the team ended up being a weakness to start the season. You know, when you finish 31st in pass, they did improve by 50 yards after Dean Pease got there. So I think they'll continue to get better. They're not going to be that bad. So finishing out the linebackers, like Malik Harrison, free agent. I mean, right player, right price. You know, he's good special teamer. I mean, I'm not paying him a ton. I'll pay him a little over vet minimum is what I would do. But he's at best a backup inside back. He's kind of a jack of all trades, master of none. Because on the outside, he could play outside for you. Do you want him lining up out there all the time? No. He can't rush the passer. He can set the edge. On the inside, I like him if he's going forward. I don't like him in pass coverage. I don't like him moving laterally. I don't like him in space. But if he's moving north and south, he's a productive player because he is, you know, a 240-pound guy that is a physical guy. That's where I like him. You know, so I think he's extremely, extremely limited. Simpson, thought he regressed a ton. And maybe that's why the linebacker coach is fired. But he was terrible as a rookie. You know, I mean, he was so far away as a rookie that he needed a long way to come. And during camp and stuff, it looked like we talked about he was making progress and, you know, and he was playing a lot. But then I don't know what happened to him because Roquan was playing bad. See, and I don't know what you think, Cordell, but I thought one of the reasons, you know, Roquan was playing so bad was he was the green dot guy and he had to talk to the back end, talk to the secondary people. He had to talk to the people in front. And then he had to get Simpson lined up right. Mm-hmm. So I think it was way too much for him, and he didn't get to focus on being him. And I do think he was a little heavy, too, because his pass coverage was not, you know, not good.
I mean, he was mentally exhausted. I think, you know, a lot going on pre-snap. You only get a certain amount of time, and then it's, you know,
after 15 seconds, that
ball is snapped.
Off.
And, I'm just talking about him, you know, communicating with everybody else, getting everybody else
right.
Lined up. And then before you look, the ball is snapped, and now you got, you know, 313 pounds coming your way, and it's a lot happening. I think with Simpson, and this is a byproduct of, you know, OTAs and training camp, of us really not being able to gauge how these guys really look.
Because you put the pads on.
Yeah, because Simpson's out there every day. He was getting a lot of starter reps, but they can't do anything. They can't hit anybody. The offense isn't – sometimes defense can't go after the ball. Sometimes offense can't go after the ball. It's very tough to gauge how guys look. And I said it all offseason. I thought people were dropping the confetti way too soon on Simpson because of what he did in that Week 18 game against Pittsburgh. That was, I thought, very overblown the entire offseason. And I think expectations may have been definitely externally expectations were too high for him. Internally, I don't know what they were expecting. I think that they thought that it wouldn't be Patrick Queen there, the Patrick Queen that they had the year before that was an all pro. I know that they knew that they were taking a step back there, but for him to lose his spot to special teams guys that they knew, it's not like that he lost his spot to guys that, you know, just showed up and all of a sudden, wow, the coaches, these are guys that the coaches have been looking at for years. Mm-hmm. And they didn't see anything new, but all of a sudden, Simpson loses his spot, you know, long term to these guys for the rest of the year. I don't know what happened. And I, like I said, I wonder what their expectations were, because clearly he fell short of them.
Well, after that Cincinnati game, when there was a Thursday night game, I think it was, and then they were going to work all weekend to figure out what was wrong. From that point forward, Simpson, like, less reps. Then no reps. And then, you know, then he was just playing special teams.
The worst
teams.
Thing for him was Roquan missing that Chargers game, because it allowed Board and Harrison to really put together great film that I think cost him his job.
And the thing with Simpson was, I think he lost confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's not playing fast anymore. And then you're up on your tiptoes looking yep. for the ball. And then all of a sudden, like you said, those 300-pound linemen, he's not taking them on. He's catching. Yep. And he's getting driven back into the safeties. So, yeah, they were playing like with 10 men. So, you know, they've got to get do you think a veteran inside line? Because you can't go with Simpson and a rookie.
I think veteran.
I do too.
I think veteran is exactly. It's
and
time
I think
to
they
play,
may draft one
games.
Too.
Yeah, they should. They have no depth. I mean, that was one of the things we talked about going into last season. Where's the depth at linebacker? They didn't have any.
No.
You know, so I do think they need depth. But if we're talking about plug and play, I think it needs to be a veteran. This is a team that needs to get over the hump. Can't be playing games and experimenting with guys and stuff like that. Put somebody in there that. No, then who that is, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't
know who that is, but I would definitely encourage a veteran if possible. We'll try to get to the defensive line tomorrow, finish up on the Ravens' defensive side of the ball.
Which is a good spot to talk about.
No doubt. No doubt. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some NFL lunch, look around the league, see what's going on. That's next here on The Fan.